Welcome to PQ Doc on Call, a podcast dedicated to current and aspiring intensivists. I'm Pradeep Kamath, coming to you from Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, Emory University School of Medicine.
And I'm Rahul Damania from Cleveland Clinic Children's Hospital, and we are two pediatric ICU physicians passionate about all things MedEd in the PICU. PICU Doc on Call focuses on interesting PICU cases and management in the acute care pediatric setting. So let's get into our episode.
Welcome to a special episode called PICU Doc on Call Shorts, where we break down a key basic science or physiology concept and highlight the clinical and bedside relevance. The formula we'll cover today is called the alveolar gas equation. So let's get started. So Rahul, what is alveolar gas equation?
All right. So this is one of the most important formulas in pediatric critical care. And we're going to break it down very simply today. The alveolar gas equation is given by the formula P big AO2 is equal to the FiO2 times the quantity pressure atmospheric minus the pressure of water vapor subtracted by the quantity PCO2 over R, which is the respiratory quotient. So just going through the variables, P big AO2 is the partial pressure of oxygen in the alveoli. The FiO2 is the fraction of inspired oxygen. You can get this from the ventilator. The pressure atmospheric is the atmospheric pressure, also denoted as PATM. And the PH2O is the partial pressure of water vapor. Going to the second part of the equation, the PCO2 is the arterial carbon dioxide pressure. You can get this from an arterial blood gas. And R is the respiratory quotient. Now, the alveolar gas equation plays a crucial role in understanding hypoxemia, detailing how oxygen reaches the alveolar space for diffusion into the bloodstream. Oxygen, typically comprising 21% of inspired air, must navigate environmental pressures and the presence of other molecules, primarily water vapor and carbon dioxide, to be effectively utilized by the body. And remember that the water vapor is actually going to be primarily in the conducting zone of the airway. The respiratory quotient is the ratio between the CO2 production, denoted as the VCO2, divided by the VO2, which is the oxygen consumption. So the respiratory quotient usually is going to be set at 0.8. However, remember that it is going to be carbon dioxide production over oxygen consumption. And in alveoli, oxygen is exchanged for carbon dioxide at a ratio of approximately 1.25 to 1. So slightly a little bit more oxygen exchange. So what we're going to do now is we're going to try to give you an example of how to practically use the alveolar gas equation. It may seem like there are a lot of numbers, but if you just follow along very closely and keep in mind the variables, you'll be able to catch on to the various components of the alveolar gas equation. So let's go ahead and calculate the P big AO2 at sea level. And remember that the atmospheric pressure is typically going to be 760 millimeters of mercury. The FiO2 on, quote, ambient air or room air is going to be 0.21. And the water vapor pressure is 47 millimeters per mercury. So if we go to the first part of the equation, we will note that 760 minus 47 is going to give us 713 millimeters of mercury. You'll multiply that by the quantity FiO2, and you will get 150 millimeters of mercury at sea level. Now, this is really important. Typically, if you are on 21%, it will be 150 as the magic number. Now, we can subtract the PCO2, which normally is going to be 40, and divide that 40 by the respiratory quotient, which is 0.8. So in this situation, what we note is that 40 divided by 0.8 is 50. So when we subtract 50 from the 150, which we got, we get the 100 millimeters of mercury, which is the partial pressure of oxygen at the alveolar level. The key here is to recognize that the alveolar gas equation normally under health at sea level with normal CO2, you're going to get the number 100 millimeters of mercury as your P big AO2. And remember, if there's no diffusion impairment or VQ mismatch, you will take that 100 millimeters of mercury and get it dissolved into the P little AO2, which is your dissolved O2.
Rahul, that was an excellent summary. Can you explain to our listeners what the AA gradient is?
Absolutely, Pradeep. So the AA gradient is denoted as P big AO2 minus P little AO2. We can use the alveolar gas equation to calculate the P big AO2 and then subtract the P little AO2 by the arterial oxygen that we get when we draw an ABG. We can use this AA gradient to understand the cause of hypoxemia in our patient. We're going to be making a big deal about this in this episode, but we need to know what are the four causes of hypoxemia. VQ mismatch, also known as ventilation perfusion mismatch, an anatomic shunt, diffusion defect, and hypoventilation. Remember that the normal AA gradient is 3 to 15 millimeters of mercury in room air. An AA gradient on 100% FiO2 should be below 35. So to emphasize this point, we're going to go through a multiple choice question, and this will incorporate and integrate the causes of hypoxemia that I noted. So here's the question. Which of the following scenarios would typically result in a normal AA gradient? A, a patient with pediatric ARDS. B, a patient with VQ mismatch due to pneumonia. C, a patient with a pulmonary embolism. Or D, a patient with hypoventilation due to sedative overdose.
Rahul, the correct answer is D, a patient with hypoventilation due to sedative overdose. This scenario would typically result in a normal AA gradient. The AA or the alveolar arterial gradient compares the oxygen level in the alveoli calculated from the alveolar gas equation with the oxygen level in the arteries. A normal AA gradient indicates that oxygen is moving from the alveoli into the arteries efficiently. In the case of hypoventilation due to a sedative overdose, the main issue is not that the oxygen transfer from the alveoli to the blood is impaired, but rather that not enough oxygen is being delivered to the alveoli due to decreased ventilation. Therefore, the AA gradient would be normal in this scenario. And this is a very typical question on your pediatric critical care boards.
Awesome, Pradeep. And I want to reemphasize, things that are going to increase the AA gradient are going to mess with the alveolar capillary interface. If you have a pathology at the alveolar capillary interface, such as VQ mismatch or a diffusion defect, you are going to have an elevated AA gradient. So Pradeep, let's go ahead and continue to apply the AA gradient concept and the alveolar gas equation. Let's break down the major causes of hypoxemia. Why don't you go ahead and start with the first one?
Yeah, Rahul. So to build up on alveolar hypoventilation, which is the first cause of hypoxia, in case of hypoventilation, the alveolar gas equation explains why hypoxemia occurs. It occurs because not enough oxygen is delivered to the alveolus. The PaCO2 will rise because of inadequate ventilation, and subsequently the P big AO2 will fall. Likewise, in the case of high altitude, not enough oxygen is delivered to the alveolus. In this case, the atmospheric pressure decreases and the amount of ambient oxygen inspired is decreased. Consider a place like Tibet or Bolivia, which are both at approximately 12,000 feet. The inspired PiO2 is 100 versus what it would be at sea level, which is 150. Now, supplemental oxygen will be required for patients as well as healthcare providers in these places. Hypoxemia stimulates alveolar ventilation via the stimulation of chemoreceptors, resulting in lowering of the PaCO2, which in turn limits the reduction of the PaO2.
Awesome, Pradeep. And when it comes to alveolar hypoventilation, think about the alveoli as a tug of war. If you have too much P big A CO2, the P big A O2 is going to be low. But remember, hypoventilation, high altitude, does not increase your AA gradient. I'm going to pivot into causes of elevated AA gradient hypoxemia. The first one is going to be impaired diffusion. So in this case, oxygen transfer from the alveolus to the circulating hemoglobin at the capillary level is going to be impaired. The alveolar capillary interface is disrupted so that oxygen does not easily diffuse into the pulmonary blood supply. In this case, oxygen supplementation to a degree can help correct hypoxemia.
Coming to the third cause of hypoxia, it is actually VQ mismatch, which is what's very commonly encountered in the pediatric ICU. In VQ mismatch, there is regional hypoventilation and physiologic shunting of the blood to areas of the lung that are not well oxygenated. This is the case with atelectasis or pneumonia, or this is also the case when you use albuterol in an asthmatic. One part of the lung is unable to ventilate well, and so hypoxemia may occur. This can be overcome by increasing ventilation and perfusion to the healthy areas of the lungs that can compensate. Also, supplemental oxygen may help compensate for hypoxemia in areas of low VQ ratio, but not where VQ ratio is zero, defined as true or an absolute shunt. Normal alveolar ventilation is about 4 liters per minute, and normal pulmonary blood flow is about 5 liters per minute, giving us a VQ of 4 divided by 5, which is 0.8. In reality, the VQ of an alveolus may vary from 0, that is called shunt, to VQ that is infinity, that is called dead space. And there can be multiple combinations in between these two extremes.
I think that is a great example, Pradeep. To summarize here, VQ mismatch is one of the most common causes of hypoxemia in the pediatric ICU. And when you have a patient in front of you, you want to understand, is the VQ mismatch going to be approaching zero, where ventilation is impaired, but perfusion is still there? This is what we call intrapulmonary shunting. Or is your patient in front of you having a VQ ratio that's approaching infinity, where V is still there, but Q is not there? And that's what we call dead space. Now, remember, when you have dead space, it could be alveolar dead space, it could be anatomic dead space, it could even be because of a pulmonary embolism or a lack of pulmonary blood flow, such as in cardiac arrest. So the last point that we're going to make regarding hypoxemia, or the last cause of hypoxemia, is going to be a shunt. Now, this shunt is typically going to be a right to left shunt, and that is a more anatomic shunt. The old term was venous admixture, and this is where the alveoli are adequately ventilated and the P big AO2 is normal, but blood flow is shunted around the alveoli at either the cardiac level or by a pulmonary arteriose malformation. Essentially, you're bypassing the lungs here, so blue blood is going into the red circulation. In this situation, supplemental oxygen will be ineffective in correcting the hypoxemia. What is very high yield here is that when you're bypassing the lungs, oxygen ain't going to help you. Remember that a shunt can be intrapulmonary, secondary to a pulmonary AVM, or intracardiac.
Excellent explanation, Rahul. A common question in respiratory physiology is why VQ mismatch predominantly results in hypoxemia rather than hypercarbia, even though it affects both oxygen and CO2 exchange. Could you explain why this is the case?
Absolutely, Pradeep. So I am a little bit of a physiology nerd. So this explanation is going to be broken down into two key mechanisms. And remember, the question here is that why VQ mismatch predominantly causes hypoxemia rather than hypercapnia. So the first cause is increased ventilatory response to CO2. When there is a rise in our blood CO2 due to VQ mismatch, it acts as a strong stimulus for increased ventilation. This response typically reduces the elevated PCO2 and brings the PCO2 back to normal levels. However, here's the key. Oxygen levels may not be corrected as effectively by this compensatory mechanism. So in scenarios like high altitude, where hypoxia is more pronounced, the body responds by hyperventilating even more, which further reduces the PCO2. But again, the compensatory mechanism is not necessarily good enough to improve the PO2. The other thing for us to note is that there is limited compensation by VQ changes. In situations where there are opposite changes in VQ ratios, these do not necessarily balance out to normalize overall gas exchange. So let's go through an example. In areas of low VQ ratio, the arterial content of oxygen in the blood might decrease significantly from a normal of about 19 milliliters per cent to much lower at 16 mLs per cent, or even close to the venous oxygen content, which is about 14 mLs per cent. Conversely, if we go to the other side where you have a high VQ ratio, although the arterial oxygen content might slightly increase to above the normal, which is 20 mL per cent, it does not enhance oxygen delivery significantly since hemoglobin is already near full saturation and any additional oxygen is merely dissolved in plasma, contributing minimally to total oxygen content. So the key point here is that VQ mismatch primarily is going to affect your oxygenation. Even though it can affect your CO2 exchange, the intact compensatory mechanisms allow for you to handle CO2 much easier than O2.
So let's summarize the alveolar gas equation. Every PQ fellow and a resident rotating in the PQ should know how to use the alveolar gas equation. P, big AO2, equals to FiO2, in parenthesis, atmospheric pressure minus water vapor pressure, close the parenthesis, minus PaCO2 divided by R, which is the respiratory quotient, is the formula used to calculate the AA gradient. Once you get the P big AO2, you then subtract the P small AO2, which is derived from a blood gas, and that gives you what we call as the AA gradient. FiO2 is the fraction of inspired oxygen, which is set on the ventilator or the given device. P atmosphere is the atmospheric pressure, which, remember, at sea level is 760 millimeters of mercury, and this is actually going to change with changes in altitude. PH2O is the water vapor pressure at body temperature, which is typically taken as 47 millimeters of mercury. The PaCO2 is the arterial CO2 pressure, which is measured by the blood gas. And R is the respiratory quotient, generally assumed to be 0.8 unless specified.
Awesome, Pradeep. And to bring us home, I wanted to make sure that we summarize two more points. Remember that the normal AA gradient in the context of hypoxemia is about 3 to 15. And if the alveolar arterial gradient is going to be normal, likely we are dealing with hypoventilation. Hypoventilation does not increase your AA gradient. This is commonly tested on pediatric board exams. The other key point is the clinical focus on the VQ mismatch. Remember, one of the most common causes of hypoxemia in the PICU. VQ mismatch primarily leads to hypoxemia. That is seen more frequently than hypercarbia at times in clinical scenarios. Remember that hypercarbia initially increases alveolar ventilation thanks to your chemoreceptors, reducing PaCO2, but those compensatory mechanisms often are insufficient to correct hypoxemia. So recognizing this helps tailor respiratory management strategies more effectively.
This concludes our episode on the famous alveolar gas equation. We hope you found value in our short case-based podcast. We welcome you to share your feedback, subscribe, and place a review on our podcast. Please visit our website, pqdoconcall.org, which showcases our episodes as well as our Doc on Call management cards. PQ Doc on Call is hosted by me, Pradeep Kamat, and my wonderful co-host, Dr. Rahul Dimenia. Stay tuned for our next episode. Thank you.